is the right three. I told you I'm probably going to give you this premise many times. And that's okay because I really want it to stick. But I've said it the first 2 weeks, I'm going to say it next week. So get used to it. If your goal is to please God, then you need to be striving to be Christ-like. And if you are striving to be Christ-like, then you need spiritual disciplines. Again, the passage, 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Exercise yourselves towards godliness, spiritual disciplines. Last week, we talked about inward disciplines. Reading the Word, praying, fasting, time alone with God. Talked about all of those last week. Now, of course, this is all based upon the premise of you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? There's no reason to even try any of those inward disciplines. I'm not telling you that if you don't know Jesus, don't read your Bible. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you that's not going to really work for you if you don't know Jesus. Now, you can find Jesus. If you start reading your Bible, you can read the verses that say you need to put your faith in Him and the Holy Spirit will work in your life. And what it's going to do is draw you to Him, right? But until you answer that call to give your life to Christ, you're not going to see growth. You're not going to see a bunch of leaps and bounds of becoming more like Christ until you accept Christ. That's just how it works. And so I want you to know that, of course, before these spiritual disciplines begin, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, when you do that, these inward disciplines are the first thing that I point you towards. I would say you've got to start reading your Bible. You've got to spend time in prayer. Find some time alone with God. If God leads you to fast, those are things that Christian people do. If you'll do that, there's no doubt in my mind that inward disciplines lead you into a life of outward disciplines. Right? You start there. You start by reading your Bible in prayer. But what that's going to do is very quickly, when you read your Bible, you're going to find out that what happened on the inside of you is going to have to be seen on the outside of you. And that's what leads us to what's called outward disciplines. Now, these are things that Christians can and really should practice. So we're going to touch on four of those this week. The four that we're going to touch on this week, I'm not telling you they're the only ones, but the four we're going to touch on this week is simplicity, submission, giving, and service. Those are the ones that we're going to talk about this week. You might just now, and we'll take each one as we go. Simplicity. That's where we'll start. Now, before I completely explain to you what I mean by simplicity, some of you already maybe got a little bit of an idea. I think I know maybe what he means by that. But what I'm going to do is go ahead and read to you four passages out of the Bible. And I want you to see if the Holy Spirit doesn't kind of get you thinking, right? Maybe you figure this out for yourself. Because this is kind of what happens when you're at home reading your Bible. God's going to speak to you, and He's going to reveal things to you. See if you don't get an idea of what simplicity might mean as we read these verses. Proverbs 15:16 says this: better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All of those verses, when you combine those together and begin to think about those, and when I say meditation, I'm not talking about the Zen Buddhist weird kind. I'm not talking about the kind that really, if there's certain meditations I would never want you to do, because where it started, and there's a lot of people who won't even use that word because they fear it, because there are kinds of meditation that are unbiblical and they start to lead towards on crystals and those kinds of things. So some people just avoid the word. No, when I say meditation, this is one of those times that I would point to. And I would say, I read these four passages and then I meditate on them. I've read these passages and I begin to think, okay, God, what do these passages say to me? Let's be honest. Our wants and our desires, right? If we look around at each other, if we look at the rest of the world, our wants and desires, our need to have the biggest, what's better, what's brand new, that becomes a real problem. That becomes a real problem for us because everything's available. Everything. I talked just the other day. I was talking with my daughter about the fact that it has amazed me that over the last, it feels like 50 years of COVID, but the last few years, you hear about all kinds of things that you should do without all the regulations, but you know what they're not telling you? Hey, man, lose some weight, drink water, take vitamins, eat better, exercise. That should be better. That's readily available. There's every exercise machine we have. We're not like other countries. We have pure water to drink. There's all kinds of things that we could do to be better off health-wise. But they're not telling us those things. But at the same time, also know this. One of the reasons we struggle is because we have more than just pure water. We have exercise machines become hanging racks because of all the clothes I have, right? So one of the reasons we struggle in the United States is because we have everything. We have access to everything. And so we as Christians have to figure out a way to simplify things. Those verses that we just read, and it's very apparent to me that when you read those verses that says what you need is God, God is what will see you through. What would it be good if you profited everything, you had everything you ever wanted, and you were busy, and you kept doing this and doing that, and you were involved in every civic service, and all these great things were happening, but you didn't have God? What we need is some focus, some simplicity. I'm not calling you to be an Amish, I'm not calling you to be a monk, but they do have a point, right? There are some things that when you start to study and listen to why they do things and their thought behind there and behind things, you go, you know what? There are some times that got a point. Boy, if we could simplify it. How many of us have looked at the rushed, busy, money-driven world at our phones, at our computers, at our TVs, and honestly longed for a simpler time? We've had those conversations just about everybody in this room. Other than the young ones who've never known what it was like to not live in this world, almost everyone I know who has come through this phase says, man, can things just slow down a little? Can we just have a moment? As Christians, it is great for us to actively, and this is why this is an outward discipline, to actively, means it takes some effort, to actively simplify things. To put our trust and our priority on God. Now, what that looks like for you, this is where I send you to your inward discipline. This is where I say, well, I've listed some things here that we probably need to do better at, but in all honesty, I don't know for you. Because I'm not with you every day. I don't know what fills up your life. You may be doing a good job of simplifying things right now. You may be sitting there thinking, man, I really do need to simplify things. Well, if that's true, what I would encourage you to do is to read your Bible, to pray, spend some time alone with God, fast about it if you need to, right? We go back to the inward disciplines, and we say, God, how can I simplify things to prioritize you? So they work together. I'm not just going to have one without the other. I'm going to use my inward disciplines to help my outward one of saying, God, how do I simplify? You know, how that works is it might be that still small voice in your head that says, hey man, get off your phone. Turn off your TV. How can you always read everything but your Bible? Right? It might be that still small voice that says, you know, you don't need to buy one. You already have one. You have enough of these. Yeah, I know this sweater's out of style. You're out of style. Get over it. Right? It might be any number of things where you just say, man, slow down here and just concentrate on that relationship with Jesus Christ. People, we make things so much more complicated than they have to be. And here's the other thing I want you to know. if you will simplify things, also working hand in hand, it will give you more time for your inward disciplines. Because we don't simplify things, we feel like we don't have time to really spend time reading our Bible, spending time in prayer. Where am I going to have alone time with God? People think about that. Remember the quote I told you last week, I said how sad it is how many people have so much going on that they don't read their Bible, right? Well, that's what we're talking about. We live in a world where people say, well, I don't have time to do that. Wait a minute. You have as much time as everybody else. What do you prioritize? If you don't have time for God, if you don't have time for prayer and Bible reading and alone time and worshiping God, you've got too much stuff on your plate. You've got to make some room because God has to be first. So what I'm calling you to do is to simplify your life so that you can point to God and you can prioritize your life and say, God is what is important, not everything else. I don't have to be the prettiest, the brightest, the most famous. I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to have all the brand new things as soon as they come out. I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, one of those things might mean more to you. I might have said one of the things that you're like, nah, that's never been a priority to me. That's okay. I think we all probably have some things in our life that we can reprioritize, that we can simplify. Let me give you a few quotes before I move on. Henry David Thoreau says, it's astounding as well as sad how many trivial affairs even the wisest states he must attend in a day. St. Augustine, order your soul, reduce your wants. That's a pretty simple one. Order your soul, reduce your wants. Let's move on. Submission. Submission. Now, this is twofold. This is twofold, so follow with me. First of all, actively submit to God. Actively submit to God because we must humble ourselves and realize that He is God and we are not. And when we submit to God, that will help us to humble ourselves among men. Right? Submit to God first, and when we submit to God, it will allow us to humble ourselves among men. Submission to God, saying God's in control, it's not me, I can be humble, I don't have to take care of everything, and if I was in charge of everything, we'd be in big trouble. You know, just realizing that this isn't all up to me. God's in control. I'm going to actively turn things over to Him. And people who actively turn things over to Him have done show in their life. There's a sense of confidence and faith and assurance that they have that other people don't have. And you can ask Him sometimes, you say, how are you so calm? This is such a crazy situation. So I put my faith in God. God's going to take care of it. And I trust in Him. Yeah, I wish I did okay. Well, you're going to have to actively do that. You're going to have to actively submit to Him. Let me share a verse with you. Also, because our submission to God and what it does to our relationship with others, it says Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That is actively submitting and humbling ourselves and saying, well, I'm not as important as I'd like to think that I am. I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to be over everybody. I don't have to be in control of this situation. I'm going to throw some verses at you and not read them all. But I want to tell you Romans 13:1-7, Hebrews 13:17, 1 Peter 2:13-14, Titus 3:1. You can write any of these down because what these are going to tell you is that we have to actively submit to people who are over us. It talks about the government. It talks about your bosses. People, we live in a world where it's hard to do that sometimes. And I have seen people over the last couple of years lose their mind over submitting to a new rule or a new law or a, well, I'm doing that store and I'm, how about you just don't go in there? Right? You just don't. I'm just being honest with you. I've seen people who are supposed to be good Christians and have a good Christian witness that destroy it because there's a video now of them all over the world because they decided to fight an employee of a store over a mask. And I'm thinking, why don't you just not go in there? It's their store. It's not your store. Like, if that store says that's the rule, then just, you know, not to fight with them. You don't have to agree with them, but But you certainly don't have to get in a fist fight, right? I mean, what are we doing? You can't tell me over the last year or so that we haven't had, and I'm not telling you to agree with everything that's done, but the Bible does clearly tell us if it's not sinful, if it's not something that is harmful to you, we're supposed to be submissive, obedient, law-abiding people. That's the way it is. Now, if I lived in a country and told me I couldn't be a Christian, I couldn't have a Bible, I'd be smuggling them in, hiding in the basement, having church too. Right? If they come and try to shut these doors and tell us we can't have church, then we'll go hide in the field or somebody's barn and we'll have church. But I haven't been told I don't like these taxes, and when they go up, guess what? I still have to pay them. I don't go hide and run from the government so that I end up on the front page for, you know, tax evasion and all these. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us that as Christians, we're to be good citizens. We're to be able to humble ourselves. It also goes into play at work. There are times where you may not get along with your boss, but they're your boss, right? We're supposed to be able to beat those kinds of people. I have seen good Christian people do things and be treated in ways that blew me away. But it said so much for their witness, because when you gave them an order, they did it. When you asked them to do something, even when you gave them the most menial job, it meant something to them, and they went about and they did it. I mean, there are good people doing jobs that are well below them, but they're doing it out of a sense of duty, and they do it because that's what the boss said, and they're doing it because the Bible tells them to work hard, and sometimes you just have to submit yourself to what's going on and get to work. And so as Christians, part of what we're supposed to be doing is submitting to God and saying, God, there's nothing really going on here that you're not aware of. Right? I know you're in control. And I may not agree with my boss. I may not agree with the government. I may not agree with all these things. But there are certain things in my life that this is where I live and these are the rules. And so if it's not leading me into sin, if it's not actively hurting me, if it's not destroying my family and these types of things, then I am going to abide by that. Now let's find some of these other rules and laws that are destroying lives and that are sinful. Let's find them together. Let's do that. I would love if you could get rid of abortion. I would love to get rid of some of these places where you think just about anybody can walk in any bathroom, whatever they want. I understand there are some things that have gotten out of hand that we have to, by following God's word and following for the protection of other people, that we must stand up for. We also understand that we have to actively understand what it is to humble ourselves, to not think so highly of ourselves, to not think that we're above everything, to be able to be humble and say, God's in control, He's going to take care of this, it'll be okay. Now, that's much easier to do when you're following your inward disciplines, when you're spending time in the Bible, spending time in prayer. It's also much easier as a Christian when you put your faith in God and you ultimately understand that your earthly obedience will gain you eternal rewards. Right? As a Christian, that's one of the things that we're supposed to understand, that we're not of this world. Right? That I am now a child of the King. And that I'm going to have to go through a lot of stuff. And once I get through this, there is going to be a reward for me. And that makes it a whole lot easier to deal with all this, knowing that there's something on the other side. Let's move on to a popular, I know that one was super popular, so let's move on to an even more popular discipline, giving. This is a real popular one. But before you even ask it, yes, the Bible does teach that we are to tithe. Absolutely. The Bible does teach that we are to give 10% of our first fruits to the storehouse and to the church. That is a biblical teaching. And I know it sounds like a lot. I know it. But I can promise you, God always outgives you. I can guarantee you that God will outgive you every time. Now, you have to understand what that means when God outgives you, because God blesses you in so many ways that you'll never even be able to catch up with all the blessings that God has given you. But I'll also tell you this. Every single person, I'd say almost, because I guess I haven't asked them all, but I'd say almost every single person I know that tithes ends up even giving more. Every person I've ever known that tithes always gives more. They'll give their tithe in the storehouse, but then they're over here giving to somebody. They're reaching out to somebody over here. They're coming to me as the pastor and saying, could you give this to so-and-so? I don't want them to know it's from me, but could you give this to them? And I've had to be the go-between of many a time where people are loving and giving and reaching out to others, but people giving is an outlet. verses pretty completely. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 is the most popular passage in the Bible about tithing. This is the part of Malachi that says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. Even this whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. He says, try me. I'm looking back to that. He says, try me. How often do you see that in the Bible? We see all these promises, and he says, he'll always keep them. But how many times do you remember? God knows how difficult this one is. And he says, try me. Now, in Matthew 23, 23, a lot of people try to say, well, Jesus doesn't really talk about giving. Well, he does, and I'm going to show you one of the areas he does. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. For you pay your tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Well, let me explain that to you. He looks at them and he says, hey, you know, I get it. You come to church and you tithe and you give and you do these big outward acts, right? So this is God talking to somebody about an inward discipline and an outward discipline at the same time. He says, you're really good at the outward ones. You dress fancy. You come into the church. You're always there. You give like you're supposed to. But he says, but the weightier things, the matters of the heart, the ones that prove that you've really changed, love, faith, kindness, mercy, you don't have any of those things. You need both. That's what Jesus said. He said, you ought to have done both. And so what that means is, you know, if the sign of being a Christian was given, that'd be way easier. Because everybody could just go to church and throw something off and play. You might see I'm a Christian, and there's a lot of people who do that. Right? And the drilling tools were on the guy that used to scratch behind his ear with his money because he wanted everybody to see what dollar amount he was putting in the offering plate, right? So there's people that when they give that there needs to be some type of announcement. You ever seen that on television where somebody will stand there and have a big giant check and it's like, we're giving this? Like, why can't you just write that check to them and be quiet about it? Now, sometimes the place asks you, I get that. Some of you may have been a part of something like that in the community. Like, this is nice to talk to people. We've given this from the bank or this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about benevolent giving from individuals when you have to be made known. It just better be in the neighborhood. You know how much I gave them? Or that in every conversation, a person has to tell you what they did for somebody the week before. Right? The Bible talks about not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Just give. Just be a person who's willing to give. And so what this says is, yes, you're supposed to give, but it ought to come from a loving, kind, and gracious heart. And so when I do my inward disciplines and I begin to grow to be more like Christ, I become a more giving person. And I can promise you, when you give to God what is His, He always outgives you. And let me give you a couple more points about giving here. Again, verse 10, Malachi 3, try me in this. You might look at me and say, Pastor, if I were to come and take 10% off of what I made and put that in an offering plate, do you know what that does to my bills? Do you know what that, well, first of all, let's go back to the part where simplify. Where are we throwing all this money? You know, many people would come and say, well, I gave and it didn't really work. Well, time out. What did you do with the 90%? That's a lesson I've had to learn. But my wife, I've learned all my life that, yeah, you might be giving what you're supposed to be giving the church, but, you know, God's also very concerned about what you're doing with the other 90%. You can't just be faithful at 10 and unfaithful with the other. So you have to figure these things out. So I'm going to encourage you, and when you try God in this, be obedient. Be obedient, follow Him, and you will watch. Now, because I know people personally who have said to me that I gave more and ended up with more in my account, and I can't figure it out. He said the money started to work out, and I don't know, we've not recommend this. But the wife started tithing without the husband's knowledge. Right? I'd much rather you communicate. But she felt so strongly that she was supposed to, and she was kind of afraid to talk to him about it, so she just started giving. But the conversation happened where he came to her, and he said, for the last month or so, our finances have been, like, so much better. did we do? She goes, well, I started tithing. He goes, what? She said, I started eating. And she said, he said, that doesn't make sense. How did you start giving more than I'm coming to you? And the reason I noticed is because our finances looked better. Now, people, I can't explain all these things to you. There's a God thing that happens when you give and are obedient to God. He gives back to us, but I'm also not telling you, hey, tithe and you're going to get rich. Because if that's why you tithe, you're not really giving to God. You're just asking for something. What God gives me more over than money is peace. And he gives me joy. And he gives me his faith. And he just watches over me. And it goes back to that verse where it says, I can simplify because God will be the one to supply all my needs. Let me also tell you in this, whether you're in this building, whether it's somebody watching online or anything else, but part of your inward discipline, of your Bible reading, of your prayer, your fasting, your alone time, part of what you're supposed to be doing is finding the church that God wants you at. Right? You're supposed to be finding the place that this is where I feel the presence of God. This is where I feel God is working. This is where I feel I am to give. So that way it makes it easier to give because you have faith that this is where God wants you to give and that these people are using it to grow the kingdom and that there are services happening and things happening that you're like, yes, this is what I can give towards. Have you ever donated to something and found out that it was not what they said it was? That's troubling, right? I've heard of places that I try to support, try to tell people, hey, we should give towards this, and I found out later that some of that money went towards places I didn't want to. I thought, oh, man. That happens at churches, too. Where for years, people give and give and give. And all of a sudden, the church just veers off into that feeling. Oh, man. I put so much money. There are places now that churches and denominations and individuals are pumping money into denominations that are preaching heresy now. And they're lying and they're spreading the lies. Get your money out of there. Right? And if that ever happened here, then heresy crept in and the preacher lies, you don't give another dime. You say, I will go where the word is taught. I will go where we are going to use this to grow the kingdom. And that's why every Sunday we pray, God, whatever's given here, help us to be wise with this. Because I know what it means for somebody to give to the church. You are giving to the church because you want to see the kingdom grow. You want to see it put to work for the kingdom. I understand that. You understand that. So I'm telling you, use your inner discipline in all of these things to lead you in the right direction. But I promise you that giving is an outward discipline of a true Christian, because that's what God calls us to do. Now, this final one is service. This should not be alarming. This should not be one. Just like last week when I said, read your Bible and pray, and you went, well, of course. When I said, what is an outward discipline of a Christian? Service should have been one of the first things you think of. What's something that Christians do, right? Serving. Each and every one of us, from the youngest baby, right, from the youngest baby there to the oldest adult, not oldest, one farthest in years, however you want to say that, we've all been created to have fellowship with God and to serve. To serve. This is a purpose for you. This is something God has in store for you. And I've seen people serve in all kinds of ways. I see people serve all the time who get accolades for it. I see people that God calls them to serve in a way that they get the pat on the back, they get the encouragement, and I've seen people serve in many ways that nobody ever knows. The list of ways to serve God is massive. There are people who serve as pastors, people who serve as song leaders or musicians, and you see them up front week after week. But there's also people who are Sunday school teachers, and their Sunday school classes is down in the basement, and if you don't have a kid, you didn't even know that person was a Sunday school teacher. But if you have a kid, you know the impact they're having on your child's life. There's people who are just helpers every year at Vacation Bible School. What you didn't know is throughout the year, they're collecting items for crafts, and they're coming up with ideas, and they were making a set for the Bible school, and you got there, and it looked cool, but you had no idea who did it. There's the people who do custodial work, who take care of the landscaping. There's people who come out every year for a coat drive. That's one of the things that they just love doing. That they'll spend hours during the weeks right leading up to going all around to all these different places and finding codes. So there's the people who come to me after the coat drive and say, is there anybody that needed one? And they'll go get as many as they need. You don't know that. We don't announce that, but they're serving. There's people who today will spend time praying for the people on the prayer list. They look at the bulletin and they think about the people who are in there, and they read that bulletin because they want to know who's on the prayer list, and they serve others by interceding for them. There's people who go and they're great at witnessing to the lost. One of the ways they serve is they witness. There's people who visit the sick, who visit the hurting. Right? There's all kinds of ways to serve. God has one for you. God has ways that He wants you to serve. I'm not just talking about being nice, right? I'm talking about finding out, God, what do you want me to do? Because that's where you'll be the best. Now, there's lots of people who serve in the church who take up spots because nobody else will do it. And I appreciate those people, right? But boy, would it be amazing if everybody just fit their puzzle piece in their spot, because that's when we're at our best, right? Now, but I have one puzzle piece that I got to fit into seven different pieces, because today we need this piece, so now we need this piece, today I need you in this piece, right? So I'm a transformer, and some of those people are amazing, and I love them for it, and they mean so much to me, because I know I can call them whenever and say, hey, today I need you to be a quarterback, tomorrow I need you to be a dump truck, Friday I'm going to need you to be, right? Because those, but you know what would be best? If I had all of those lined up, but when those times came, had a person ready to fill that spot. Where there was nobody trying to do something that they don't feel led to do. Where they're just filling a spot. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. I love that last part too. Do things publicly so people will see what you're doing, but the reason you do them is that they will glorify God. Let me see you do it, that's fine. If someone sees Christians doing good things, but don't you dare take the credit. Don't you dare start acting like that was all you. You're doing it because God enables you and God helps you, and you want those people to know that. When you give those cups to those people, and they say, oh, thank you so much, and hey, it wasn't me, the church put this together, we just want you to know that God loves you. Right? Oh, thanks for doing that for me. You're a great person. Hey, you're a nice, crazy thing, man. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. Let's glorify God for this. God's been good to both of us. Sure sounds different. Yeah, thanks a lot. Feels and sounds different, doesn't it? Let's give God glory for that. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty or your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. People, we live in a country more free than anybody. And we use the freedom for ourselves most of the time. And God says, use your freedom and your ability to help others. Jesus went about serving other people. He did it all the time. He showed the disciples. He took them around and showed them how to serve other people before he left. He said, come on, we're going to be fishers of men. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go city to city and love on people and serve people and do things for other people. And before he died, he got them all in the same room and he washed all their feet. And he says, it's okay. I'm not so above you that I can't wash your feet. That goes way back, right? Submission goes way back to being able to say, I don't see myself as better than you. I can do this. I can work for you. I can work with you. I can help you. He shares a parable Jesus did of the sheep and the goats. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. You know how he separated them? Now we know that when we go to heaven, it's going to be because we've put our faith in Jesus Christ and we've accepted his salvation. But when you do that, it will be followed by good works. It will be followed by doing outward disciplines of service. And when he separated them, they said, well, hey, man, we should be over there. And he says, no. I can think of all kinds of things you didn't do that you should have been doing. They said, what do you mean? Because you didn't give the thirsty man a drink. You didn't feed the hungry. You didn't visit the person when they were sick or in jail. You don't do anything for anybody. And the other people on this side, they said, well, hey, why are we chosen? And he said, because when somebody needed something, you gave it to them. And when you do that, that's like doing that for me. When somebody else hears that you're like this, I don't remember doing that. You know why? Because that was your way of life. You ever said something to somebody and said, man, you were so nice to all I knew? It wasn't anything new to them. That's the way we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to do things of service so that when people come to you and say, oh, man, that was out of the ordinary, you thought, what? Oh, I guess that's just, that should be the way of life. Serving others, loving others. But we all have to serve. We all have to. We can't sit back and just watch other people do it. This is an outward discipline that's important for every single one of us. So, first week, introduction. Say, hey, we all need to do better. You know how we're going to do better? We're going to practice spiritual discipline. Right? People say spiritual disciplines, I don't get it. Well, the kinds of things you do in your life to make you more like Christ. And if you want to be like Christ, you're going to have to practice these things. So the first week, we said you're going to have to read your Bible, you're going to have to pray, you're going to have to spend time alone with God. There may be some times where it's important for you to fast. And if you'll start doing those things, God's going to lead you into outward acts, outward disciplines. And so what I give to you today is simplicity. Find out your true purpose. Make your priorities right and focus on God. And if that means simplifying things, getting rid of some things, and changing things, then do it. We need to simplify. Submission. Relinquish control. Humble yourselves. Giving. Give back to God what is His. Know that you can trust Him. You can trust His promises. You won't outgive it. And serving. Do what God has created. Seek ways that you can be used to grow His kingdom. Next week, we're going to talk about corporate disciplines. That means we've started our inward disciplines, and while we're doing that, it's going to cause us as individuals to do things. But the corporate ones, that's us as a church. Things that are important for us to do together. And so I hope that these are things you practice. These will change your life. These will change your life. This might be a little church in Southern Illinois, but I'm telling you, it's not a secret. This is biblical stuff that will change your entire life, whether you live here, anywhere else, another country, anybody that comes within the hearing of this word. If you will follow spiritual disciplines, it will change your life. And so I encourage you. I know some people have already started some of these things. I've been encouraging you. I pray that you'll keep them up. And next week, we'll take the next step in the corporate discipline. Stand with me this morning. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as I come before you today, I'm so thankful for your word and the way that it leads us in the right direction, Father. We are not lost in the woods. We are not out here on an island. We're not searching for what we're supposed to be doing because you make it apparent to us. And Father, I'm thankful today that as we read your word, all these passages lead us to the conclusion that we are to submit ourselves to you, that we are to do whatever it takes to become more like Christ, that we need to be a giving people, that we need to be a people that serve you, that there's so much in our lives that we could get out of the way that would help us to prioritize you. But Father, I also know that it all starts with a relationship with Jesus, that it starts when we begin to read your word and to spend time in prayer. And so, Father, I just pray today that you would help us to be the individuals that you've called us to be, because when we do that, Father, you'll help us become the church that you've called us to be. We're so thankful. Father, we love you today for what you've done, for